translations. And it says here, a person who refuses to admit his mistakes can never be successful. Now, it doesn't say that you can be successful some of the time when you can't admit that you made a mistake. I'm going to read it again. A person who refuses to admit his mistakes can never be successful. I want to ask you this morning, how successful have you been here lately? How successful have you been here lately? Now, the rest of that verse, it says, but if that person confesses and forsakes those mistakes, another chance is given. Sometimes we need a fresh start, and we don't know how to get that fresh start. And that's why I'm showing it to you in the Word. But if he confesses and forsakes, what does forsake means? To abandon. If something was a mistake on day one, it's going to be a mistake from there on out. And see, it's my job to pull out greatness from you. How do I do that? It's really not that hard, because all you've got to do is you've got to know the Bible well enough to pull it out and to try to put it up inside of people. And then it's your choice whether or not you're going to live out the sermon. A man who refuses to admit his mistakes can never be successful. If there's areas of your life that have been unsuccessful, I want you to look at your life and say, were there some mistakes that I've made and I've been unable to admit that they were mistakes? A couple days ago, you know, I don't like making mistakes, whether they're big or small. And I had made a small mistake. And that small mistake caused me misery for an entire day. And I got in my car, and I just began to cry. And I said, God, what do you want from me? Kelly, I want you to confess that. And God, I made a mistake. How do you get on the road to success? Admitting when you made a mistake. Because see, if you're still trying to cover it and act like it's not been a mistake, you're everything about you stops right there. There's people, and they've been asking God, why am I in a slump? Why am I not moving forward? Look at your life. I'm going to read that in another translation, Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13 in the King James Version. And this is what most of us are more used to hearing it in this translation. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. I want to ask you this morning, how prosperous have you been? And I am not talking about money right now. How prosperous have you been? Prospering means to succeed in material terms, to flourish, to physically grow strong and healthy. How prosperous have you been? He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. How do we live our very best life? How do we live our most prosperous life? Does anybody in here, you just think, I'm just going to seek to have the worst life I can have? I don't think anybody's seeking after that. But in fact, we're seeking to try to have our best life. And our best life is not when we're focused on the material things, because here, if you really take God for his word, the word of God says that angel, he owns the cattle on a thousand hills. What does that mean? He owns it all. what kind of life do you want to have? There's good, godly people, and they're living below what God ordained for their life. And the reason they're doing it is because there's been some mistakes that have been made, and they will not look and call it what it is. If it's a mistake, be able to say it's a mistake. And for goodness sake, don't cover it. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Shall have mercy. Uncover the sin. Lay it bare before the Lord. What covers sin? Go with me now to 1 Peter chapter 4. We've talked about sin for 2 weeks. But 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. You may be saying, why is Pastor Kelly preaching about sin? I have no idea. Sin is the thing that we work so hard to cover. If you ever are wondering if you've got a sin in your life, it's not that hard to figure out because it's the thing that you're trying to constantly cover up. See, the devil, what he likes to do is he likes to get the believer to sin, and then he likes to get the believer to work overtime to cover it. And all your energy goes into covering up what you know that you're doing that is not right to begin with. And see, I'm taking you to a place, and I've taken you, and I've showed you that he that covereth his sin cannot prosper. A man that cannot admit their mistakes will never be successful. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. When we sin, it is not our job to cover our sin. When we sin, it is not our job to cover our sin and to cover our tracks. How many of you ever been bear hunting or deer hunting or whatever kind of hunting? You see these people all the time on the National Geographic, and they try to cover up the tracks. So whatever they're hunting, they know, you know, okay, I'm not a hunter, but go with me here. Tom's like, Tom, are you a hunter? A little bit? Okay. I'm not at all. The only thing I'm hunting are the sales on Amazon. And that's what I'm hunting. And I hunt them every day. And I got these boots on there. These are the last pair. And I am so proud of these that I just can't even stand it. But you ain't going to come to one of my services and be bored. Now, you're going to be entertained. You may be convicted and you may be ticked off by the time you go here, but you ain't going to be bored. I was eating dinner last night. Frank likes to take me to these spots when I get in a bad mood. How many of you have battled being in a bad mood this week? I have wrestled to the ground with that, okay? So he took me to a little diner that hardly anybody goes to, and I like those places because when I'm in a bad mood, I don't want to be around people because I don't know what I'm going to do. So there's a little diner in Delaware, and it's got a church bench, and that's the only seating that they got, okay? So we sat down, and I got me a hamburger that was as big as my face because I was going to eat those emotions. And then they had ice cream, got some of that too. Frank got a Reuben sandwich, all these things. So we sit down. Now, look, this is an interdenominational church, so don't get offended at me when I say things about Catholic people or whatever. I married a Catholic, so don't text me and tell me how upset you are about this comment because I don't want to hear it. We sat down by some Catholic people. And they said, I love Catholic people. They're the best cooks. And we sat down by the Catholic folks, and it was me, it was Frank, me, the Catholic lady, and her Catholic husband. And they got on a subject about how great it was that this particular priest kept his messages under 8 minutes. I said, oh my God, I can't even say hello to the congregation in 8 minutes, man. They vote me out. And I just laughed. But I don't know where was I going. Where was I going with that? Bear hunting. Thank you, Dwayne. Somehow the bear hunting went to the diner, went to the hamburger. Okay, so you know where my brain has gone to. Food. That's my love language is just feed me and let me have a nap, and I'm going to be good most of the time, unless it's this week. I've been pretty bad. But, you know, the sin is the thing that we're always trying to cover, and we're always covering our tracks. But you know what? At the end of the day, God knows it all. God sees it all, and it's not our job to cover up our sin. First of all, the sin was paid for, and it was covered by the blood of Jesus, first of all. But second of all, in this particular verse, it says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sin. So, how many of you are believers in here? Okay. I cannot tell you how many times just in the past 5 years of being the pastor when somebody said, Pastor Kelly, so-and-so is doing this, this, and this, and this, and those people, they just need to be exposed and all this stuff, wanting me to parade people in front of the church and making them tell all their dirty sins. Let me just tell you something. I'm really not into that. Because whoever's putting me on the spot wanting me to expose somebody else's sin, they got about 15 secret sins that ain't none of us know about, but they should be up there too. And so that's why I don't play that game, because, see, if we got to do that, Johnny, we'll never get through a church service because we all deserve to be up in front of the church telling it. But people put me on the spot, Brother Mike. And here's what I've had to tell people. On my best pastoring days, I've had to just say, you know what? The love of Jesus that flows through us is going to cover that sin for that person. But it is not our job to cover up our own mess. What does the word say? Confess ye faults one to another. Now, don't confess that to busybody Betty, okay? Because she's going to gossip about you from sun up to sundown. So, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, love covers over a multitude of sins. Go back with me. I'm going to read Proverbs 28 again. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. What do we do with mercy? Has anybody ever just shown you mercy when you deserved something else? What do we do with mercy? Go to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to look at verse 7. And these are the Beatitudes. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the merciful. You know, there is a blessing just in showing mercy. Mercy is hard to show others, especially at times. The longer we go in life, the more we get messed up by somebody, the more somebody has, I don't know another terminology to say this, if you're just a real uptight person, you're not going to like this. But the more somebody has screwed you over, the harder it is to get to show mercy. But the Word says that there is a blessing just in being merciful. Because, see, at the end of the day, mercy has never, ever had anything to do with a person deserving it. Because if we got what we deserved, we'd all have something really bad. But there's a blessing in being merciful. And one of the blessings is when it comes around our turn and we need the mercy, we're going to have the mercy. The mercy's going to be there. I believe in this day and age that people are very hard-hearted. People are getting very hard-hearted. A lot of bad things happen to a lot of good people because of the hard-heartedness that they have allowed to be inside of them. But some of the things that happen to somebody when they get a hard heart is they stray from the Word. Because, see, the Word will not allow you to stay hardened. If you really got into the Word of God, you would see that at the end of the day, that God's heart towards us is soft and loving and gentle. And because He gave His Son for us, there are certain things that when we prohibit them or we exhibit them, is a better word, God don't like it. And one of the things that God's not into is hard-heartedness. Because when it comes to us, He don't have a hard heart towards us. So when we get a hard heart, in order to have a hard heart and to keep one, we justify ourselves. Well, I got a hard heart towards this person because they did this, this, and this. And let me tell you something. In the Corinthians, I believe it's 1 Corinthians, it says love doesn't keep a record of wrongs. If you're recording every single wrong that somebody does to you, you are going to be the most miserable person that ever lived because you're always keeping score. And if you are a believer in here, God don't want you keeping that score. Why? Because, see, He's got that. He's got that handled. We don't have to keep score for God and tell on Betty Boo or Sally Sue because, see, God already has that. Now, we get hard-hearted. And when we get hard-hearted and we stay from it, we stray from the Word. And when we stray from the Word, we begin to accept things that God will never accept. There's people, and I'm sorry, I consider myself a very modern person. I try to stay up with the times. How many of y'all like our new sign? I said, I want somebody from Fort Smith to look down towards Paris Way, and I want them to see that thing. Okay? You get it as big as you can get that thing. Now, that's not vain. That's just what I like, Tom. If we're going to have a sign, I don't want you to get your magnifying glass out to look at it. I want that thing abundantly clear who this is. This is Parish Christian Center, okay? There ain't going to be no mistaking. But one of the things that I am not is somebody that is going to bend to this culture. Because this culture is wrong. Do I like LED signs and lights? Yes, I do. I like a lot of stuff. But what I'm going to like more than anything is to see people go to heaven. And at the end of these services, if you really think that right is wrong and wrong is right, I didn't do my job good enough. Don't keep your heart so hard because somebody's done messed you over and you're never going to give anybody another chance at nothing. You're going to hold everything against everybody and you're going to keep that hard heart because, see, you earned it and everybody's messed you up and somebody's always done you wrong and you're keeping score from about everything. See, you keep doing that. You're going to keep on straying from the Word of God, and then you're going to find yourself believing things that are not true and that are not in the Word. You know, you can believe a lie and be damned. You can believe things, Angel, that this culture is not right. And this country, don't kid yourself, is in a whole lot of trouble. Now, if you're somebody in here and you're going to get your feelers all hurt, if I say the word Democrat or Republican, this is not going to be the church for you, because I'm not going to dance around all of this mess. Because I have no rhythm, okay? You don't want to see me dancing. The more I try to dance around it, the more I fumble. And if you come to church looking for a reason to be offended, God will have to deal with you in that. But God's wanting people to stop having a hard heart and to not cover sin. How many of you can at least agree there are things in this culture that God is not going to accept? He's not going to accept certain things. Now, I'm not saying be mean and ugly to people, because, see, I'm not saying that at all. But what I'm saying is at the end of the day, if you allow yourself to get so far out in left field that you begin to believe what the culture is telling you. Now, let me just tell you, Duane, have you ever seen a commercial with a half-naked woman broadcasting something? They want you to buy something. Now, explain to me why a half-naked woman has anything to do with a hamburger. It doesn't. But see, culture wants to get you into pornography, and the way that they're going to do it is they're going to flaunt it in front of your children. See, the Word says be careful what you put in. The eyes are the window to your soul. And it's hard to keep that soul pure when we're looking for hamburgers from Hardee's, and here's a half-naked chick. Now, I'm going to go to where we live at, because, see, where we live at is where people are confused about, because there's things and God's never going to accept them. Amen. Billy, am I right?
You're right on.
Thank you, Billy. Let me get back to the message. Go with me to Psalms chapter 95. Psalms chapter 95, verses 6 through 8 is what we're going to read. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us bow down in worship. I'm going to encourage you to bow down in worship and nothing else. There's too many Christians bowing down to every sinful thing. Come, let us, this is not talking about the sinner right now, this is talking about believers. It's saying, come let all of us believers bow down in worship. And I'm asking you to not bow down to anything else but the living God. Because see, there is a day. And I'm not a doom and gloom pastor, but I am a reality pastor, and I'm going to keep it in check today. I don't care if people are atheists or whatever that they may be, because here's what I know. At the end of the day, there is something called Judgment Day, and we all have an appointment. And at the end of that appointment, here's what's going to happen. Every single knee is going to bow. When is the last time you just got on your knees and you just said, God, forgive me because I've been wrong and I've been doing wrong. And God, I've been doing the wrong and I knew I was doing it, God, but it felt good. And God, now my life is screwed up and I don't know what's up and I don't know what's down, because that's what happens to people. They bow down to every disgusting thing and then they wake up in their life. They don't know who they are. They don't know what they stand for. Their family is in disaster. How can I preach it? Because I have lived it. I have lived that. I know that. You can't preach something that you ain't gotten a hold of. I'm not going to preach to you about not hitting the cell rack because I ain't got a hold of that yet. Okay? But there's some things that I can preach about because I have lived them and I have stopped and I have abandoned those things because they were sinful. So I'm asking you, Psalms chapter 95, verses 6 through 8. Come, let us bow down in worship. And let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Have you ever gotten something from the store and it was real technical and you just had to call the manufacturer because something was wrong with it and you had to take it back to where it was made because you don't even know how to fix it? I had a printer the other day and it got totally messed up, and it is a very expensive printer. And I put some off-brand printer in it. And it messed up the whole thing. That thing is deader than a doornail. Because I was trying to be cheap. There's some things you just need to pay the piper on, okay? Pay it. Sign me up for that $100 printing toner. I'll take it. Because that $35 thing ended up costing me $600. And I don't like that, and I'll make that mistake one time. I done made it, and that's behind me, and I'll never have to make it again. But I called the manufacturer, the people that made it. And I said, excuse me, what is wrong with your printer that I got? Here's what I did with it. They said, oh, that ain't good. I said, well, what do I do? Well, at this point, you're going to buy another one. Now, there are times where there has been so much go on in your life. People go through periods of trauma and chaos, and they have to get to where above all else they can know the voice of God, because they've been listening to so much crap that we are wishy-washy. We are a wishy-washy nation and a wishy-washy group of people most of the time. And we will bow down to anything just because we don't want to stir the boat. Well, guess what? You better get to stirring the boat, because with or without you, that boat's done stirred up. Wake up and look around you. But when your life gets to a certain point and you want to get it back on track, what you got to do is you got to go back to the person that made it. Who is that? Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Do you identify God as the one that made you? In a world where we're all identifying as something that we're not. Now, I'm not even trying to be funny. It is funny because it's a bunch of stuff. No, we did not come from monkeys. I'm going to get a whole group of texts, Bobby, just because you got me off on that. People are so offended at everything I do. I feel like, Mary, I got to call up and ask, is it okay for me to wear these green pants today? Because I do not want to offend you. I mean, is green offensive? I mean, and then you get so much pressure. The pastor gets so much pressure on them. But you know what? Really, what we're living in is the last days, which says, oh, prophesy smooth words to me, because I don't like the truth, because the truth is going to offend me, because it's going to tell me that I'm wrong. What did we read today? A person that will not admit their mistakes will never be successful. identify with God as the one that made you, because when your life is in mess, when it gets to a certain point of being messed up, he's the only one that's going to be able to fix it. And you can run to sex, you can run to drugs, you can run to alcohol, you can run to gambling, you can run to the pills, you can run to all of that, and you're going to come up more messed up than you've ever been, because at the end of the day, the one that made you is the only one that can fix you. And he can fix anything. He can fix anything. Is there something in your life and you're saying, boy, this is need to be fixed. It's so messed up. I don't know how he's going to fix it. God is not intimidated at the mess you're in. But the devil is intimidated that you're going to get it right one day and fall to your knees and ask God to help fix you. So he's going to try to keep you in offense. He's going to try to keep you out of church. He's going to try to keep you away from the very people that love you and would speak life to you. There's people in here, and you're wondering why people are avoiding you like the plague. Because, see, they're happy doing wrong right now, and they don't want you in their life because they want to keep on doing that wrong. But I promise you, when they can come to their self, there was a moment in time where the prodigal son, he said to himself, I'm wrong, and I need to go back to my father's house. I need to go back to where I knew I was right. If you got sin in your life today, I'm not trying to be a heifer up here. I've already been one all week. I don't have to start my week out like that. Frank goes, I don't even know how to explain you, Kelly, other than you have been one heifer this week. I said, look, I am not even denying it. I have wrestled up with myself. How many of you know what a good wrestling with yourself feels like? It feels like you done ran a marathon and you're all up out of breath. The devil will get you wrestling with yourself. I said the devil will get you wrestling with yourself. You don't even got to wrestle with the devil because he's so crafty. That's how the Bible describes the devil in Genesis. But the serpent is more crafty than any other thing. And the devil is so crafty, he don't even get you arguing with him. He will get you arguing with your own self. How many of you have, I've done this morning, and I thought I'm going to take a poll today. How many of you have ever argued with somebody in your head? How many of you did it this morning? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. We got some honest people in here today. Hey, when you can keep it real, say, yeah, I was arguing with somebody up in my head today. See, the devil, he don't hardly have to mess with you when you're doing that. I kept telling myself all morning, Carolyn, the word says, if I'll just hold my peace, God will fight my battle. And my mind still wanted to go to that place. What does the word say? He that covereth his sin. Let me tell you, the sin starts in the mind. I had it all figured out. I'm going to tell this person off. Why am I telling you this? Because I'm the pastor. And if the pastor will agree, always remember this, Dwayne, when the leadership will be transparent, that's when people get the help that they need. When the leadership won't do that, we're all going to be faking it till we make it. And when you fake it one too many times, you will wake up one day and you will not know who you are, who you stand for, what you're in agreement with, what you're not in agreement with. Somebody asked me recently, well, whose side are you on? I said, look here, I'm on God's side. I ain't on your side. I ain't on their side, but I'm on the right side. When you can begin to agree with the Word of God and what it says about you and what it says about your life, you're going to be successful because you won't cover that sin that's destroying your life. I'm going to finish this up. For He is our God and we are the people of His pasture. How many of you have ever been invited over to somebody's house? Are you on your best behavior most of the time when you go to somebody's house and they've invited you over there? I try to be, unless they're family. Then I'm going to go and open up their cabinets and eat their food. But, see, if we were in our own pasture, we could just do what we want to. But see, the Word says, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture. Somebody needs to decide today, because you've been on the fence. You've been on the fence, and God's saying, whose pasture are you in? Have you jumped the fence and gotten out? For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture. See, when you're up in God's pasture, there's some things that you just agree, we're not going to do those things anymore. And when we find ourselves doing the very thing, see, Paul talked about this, doing the very thing that we know we're not supposed to. It's not rocket science. Go back in your heart of hearts, get in that pasture, and stay there. And I'm going to remind you that the Word says that there is pleasure in sin for a season, but in the end, it is a guaranteed death. I'm not even talking about your physical death necessarily. There's a whole lot of things worse than dying. And we are the people of His pasture, the flock under His care. And then it gives us a very important command. Today, see, God's not concerned with as much as what the heck went on yesterday. He's concerned about what's going on with you right now. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. Here's what goes on with people. They come in a church service, they feel a chill bump, and they got their dose of religion for the week. Let me tell you something. I am not responsible for your chills. I am not responsible for your feelings. And if you give me half a chance, I'm sure something I say will upset your feelings. Because I've been in the ministry my entire life. And there comes a certain point in the ministry, you just get tired of dancing around the feelings because it don't matter how hard you try, somebody's going to get their feelings hurt. So it's like, I'm going to have to stop dancing around this because you're danged if you do and you're danged if you don't. So I might as well just preach the Word of God that just says it very plainly. Today, if you hear His voice, see, my sheep hear my voice, and a stranger, they won't follow. There's a lot of believers, and they're good people, but they've been hearing some things, and they have not been of God, and they've been like a little cow that's got a tag in its ear, and they've been going towards the wrong voice. And God's saying, now look here, child of God. Look here, the one that's in my pasture. Today, if you've heard my voice at all, do not harden your heart. Last place for me this morning, Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. I use this one many, many times during jail ministry. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. This is God. And here's what he's saying. Here I am. Here I am. Somebody's been looking for God. You've been saying, God, where are you? And God's saying, here I am. Here I am. The thing about God is you don't have to look too long to find him. He's right there in the good and the bad. Here I am! Exclamation point. Here I am. My verse, my translation has an exclamation point. That means God's excited to be right there with you and for you. Here I am. I stand at the door and I knock. I used to think this verse was only about salvation. But see, God is knocking at the door of confusion that's been up in your life. God is knocking at the door of the depression that wants to stay. God is knocking at the door of the addiction that nobody knows about. God is knocking at the door of infirmity that the devil tells you that you got to bow down to what the doctors have said. See, God is knocking at doors this morning. See, there's doors, angel, that the only one that can open them is God. I'm going to ask you to do a heart search up in here this morning. What is it? What is it that's been going on in your life? And you can hear God and you can hear that knocking. Let me into the place where you're hurting so bad. Let me into the place where you can't seem to get this going on for you in the right way. See, where is it that's going on in you today? I'm not a mind reader. But what I am is a deliverer of the Word of God. Now, if you've got something, and you can say in here, somewhere in this message, I can feel something, and I'm hearing a knocking at a door in my life. I want to open that door. I want to meet God right in this place where I've been hurting. I want to meet God right in the middle. I don't know what it is for you. If I didn't mention it, it's because, hey, there could be lots of doors, but if you need some hands-on prayer this morning, and you say, I want to let God up into this door that I've had shut for a long time, I'm going to ask you to come up. I'm going to lay my hands on you. I'm going to pray. God will do the rest. God will do the rest. I'm going to wait. And I'm not going to wait long. So if you're on the fence and you're thinking, I don't know,